Hello, I'm Deacon Hogan from New Hope Missionary Baptist Church in San Bernardino, and I would like to speak to you a minute about Christian stewards, a Christian steward, specifically about the steward of keeping God's word. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful." As we know, a steward is a keeper, not an owner. They handle what rightfully belongs to another. They are personally accountable for the protection and wise use of that which is entrusted to them. As a Christian keeper of God's word, we need to do what? According to 2 Timothy 2:15, we need to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God has left his holy word in our care and the Holy Spirit to guide us in proclaiming it. We have an obligation to know it, rightly proclaim it, and most definitely live it, while assuring nothing is added to it or taken away from it. It is under our care. Matthew 4:4 says, "But he answered, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God must be complete, equipped for every good work." Joshua 1:8 tells us, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Yes, God has left his holy word in our care and the Holy Spirit to guide us in proclaiming it. We have an obligation to know it, as I say, to live it, rightly proclaim it, assuring nothing is added to it or taken from it. It is under our care. With his word, he has commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. With his word, he has commanded us to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. With his word, he has commanded us to teach them to obey everything he has commanded us to do, according to Matthew 28:19-20. This is the call to evangelists, to go out on a mission. This was Christ's last message to his disciples. And we are who? We are his disciples. This shows Christ's intent that Christians should witness with the goal of winning persons to him. Our whole life belongs to God, our hands to serve him, our feet to go, our lips to speak, and even the mind to think great thoughts of God. Concluding, I'm saying, God has given us dominion over all, from the earth to administering his word to our young, to the old, and all that have an ear to listen. With the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our efforts can make a difference in their lives. He has made us stewards. He has made us stewards and keepers of God's created earth. He has made us stewards. God has created human bodies, and we are to care for this temple. We are keepers of the talent and time. He has blessed us abundantly, above and beyond what we can think of, and we are to give back at a minimum our tenth and offering to uphold and proclaim his word throughout the world. Yes, as Christian stewards, we are keepers of God's word, and we can do that, because with Christ, it can be done. God bless you, and may God keep you, and remember that we are stewards of everything on this earth. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, once again, you've blessed us beyond our understanding, Lord, not because we've been so good, but only because of your mercy and your grace. And we say we thank you. We thank you for being the God of all, our sovereign God, that's given us anything and everything that we can ever hope for. We thank you, Father, for the love, your goodness, and your kindness that you bestowed upon us. We thank you, Father, for forgiving us for what we've done and what we're going to do, Father, for the sins we didn't know we did and for the sins that we knowingly did. We just thank you, because without you, we are nothing. Father, we ask you to continue to bless New Hope Missionary Baptist Church in a special way. Bless their parishioners, Father. Bless the pastor and his preaching and his wisdom, Father, and developing and giving your word, Father, from the Holy Spirit. Bless all ministers who proclaim your word, Father. Lord, we just say thank you. You've just been so good to us. And most of all, we thank you for your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died upon Calvary for the remission of our sins. And now is still at your right hand, looking from high, looking low upon us and interceding for us. We just say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Hey, Malemo Zinda. Mama Munda Leja Dambu, Sima Munda Dalili Mima Mutera. Lion of the tribe of Judah,
you will come alive around.
Jehovah Rapha God, yeah. Jehovah,
Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift, the gift of his Holy Spirit, the gift of knowing that we are indeed his children. I want to focus our attention not only today, but in the course of this year, on Jesus the Christ, Jesus our Savior, Jesus our Redeemer, Jesus our Lord, and thankfully Jesus our friend. As we have begun to challenge our leadership to lead with love and to challenge all of us who claim him as Lord to get to know him better, I want to lift a word from Jude verse 24 and 25. In the King James Version, those scriptures read like this. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. I want to talk about looking to Jesus. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go stumbling through this year, 2023. It's still new. It's still fresh. And I want the rest of this year to be full of hope and expectation, bright promise as we all head toward a horizon that has better prospects for a new day. I want to go high-stepping like the drum major in a New Year's Day parade. I want to be sure-footed and confident that the path I'm on is a righteous path. It is important to me, as it is to you, to press forward getting on the right track. Now, there's something you have to realize about this Christian faith of ours. It is that any time as you live and breathe, any time you want to get right with God, all you need is the faith to believe that God in Jesus Christ can make a brand new creation even out of you. You are not the most difficult case the Lord has had to handle. And even if you were, his grace is sufficient for anything that has to be straightened out in your life. You see, we get ourselves messed up, mixing and matching our faith with the foolishness of this world, hanging out with the wrong people, and acquiring bad habits that are likely to kill us if we don't break them soon enough. We stop fellowshipping with the church with any regularity, and we get so used to ourselves starting and stopping, slipping and sliding around our faith that we don't think even the Lord is able to right the wrongs we have done. That's why Jesus told his disciples, who were wondering among themselves, who can be saved? Jesus told them, with men, this is impossible. You can't straighten yourself out without the power of God. You can't acquire salvation. You can't buy it. You can't send for it mail order. You can't get it off a website. With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Yes, you may already be saved. You may have made that confession of faith a long time ago. You've been to the pool. You have been baptized. But living right for God in a world like this is another matter altogether. How do you live right in a society that has become mass consumers of lust and immorality, where ethics and social justice seem like an old-time religion? We have a high calling in Jesus Christ. We are to stand on a strong foundation when others are bowing to the gods of greed. It's not easy living for Jesus, but we would be much better at it if we did not settle for so much less than what God has shown us is his standard for right living. We come so short of God's glory for our life, accepting as our standard for living our own goodness. We mind our own business, some of us.
We don't do harm to anyone else. Most of us haven't been caught breaking any laws that would land us in jail. We think we're pretty good people, and we go into heaven anyhow. But God didn't say, be ye good. He said, be ye holy. Haven't you noticed that standards of goodness vary according to the moral values and virtues of a people? What was good yesterday is old-fashioned today. What used to be abominable, even to the imagination, may now be considered the prerogative of consenting adults. Protected by constitutional amendments and civil rights legislation, allowing for the full expression of our anything-goes standard of personal freedom. Goodness changes, but God remains the same. His holiness is a gift he gives us when we invite his spirit into our hearts. And then, rather than wear the spirit like a badge for public display, we are to let his spirit have his way in every room inside of us. We let God cleanse us and counsel us, guide us, and order our steps in his word with the light of heaven on our path. That's what holiness is about. If I journey on in life, high-stepping in his holiness, goodness and mercy will follow. Goodness will follow because in Christ I live by a more excellent way than the goodness that is the world's standard. Mercy will follow because God knows we will need help trying to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I need mercy, not to be moved by every wind of doctrine. I need mercy, not to fall by the wayside. And I'm told mercy suits every case. Goodness and mercy follow holiness. That's what Jude was concerned about when he wrote to these Christians. He wanted them to keep the faith, to hold on to the truth of the gospel concerning Jesus Christ, and live committed and devoted lives. Jude was concerned about the influence of those who slip into the church and lead people away from the truth of the gospel, impressed by those who have sound but not substance, who have glitz and glamour but no good news gospel. The church will always have folk in the midst who are out for themselves, not working for God's glory. And it will always be necessary for you to have enough of God's Spirit working in you to know the fruit of God from what is not of God at all. You have to have the Spirit in you and God's Word in you to appreciate the anointing and consecration of God that is on somebody's life to lead you into a closer walk with Him. After his words of caution to the church about those who try to lead God's people astray, Jude concludes with what some call a benediction, a closing word of blessing. Others call it a doxology, a verse of praise to God. But whatever you call it, it is a word meant to call us back to God and get us on the right track. Jude says, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. That first word, now, is an attention getter. It's like, if you didn't understand anything else I said, now pay attention, because I'm getting ready to break it down to you. Jude said a whole lot in that short epistle. Maybe he felt some of it was a little too doctrinal for those newly converted Christians. But when he says now, he means if you did not understand any of his previous theological language, pay attention because now I'm getting ready to make it plain. now also communicates urgency and immediacy. There was a certain way that Mama would call me from downstairs when I was in another part of the house that meant come now. A certain way she would give instructions that meant, without saying so explicitly, do it now. I tell you, God is trying to get your attention so he can say to you, now it is high time for you to awake out of your sleep, because now your salvation is nearer than when you believed. You believed you had until you were old and gray to accept him, but tomorrow is not promised. You believed you could live any old way you please, until you just couldn't do as you desire anymore. But your way is not promised to you. The Holy Ghost says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. God wants your attention now, because today and tomorrow, next year, Easter, Mother's Day, next Christmas is not promised. But today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. You ought not compel God to have to get your attention by some other means than what he is doing right now. Right now, you have made wherever you are a sanctuary to worship and hear a word from the Lord. There are folks praying for your deliverance, praying for your health, praying for your peace. And you've come into fellowship with the Church of the Living God, where Christ Jesus has reserved you a space for just such a time as this. God wants to get your attention and win your heart's commitment to a change of life that is a gift of grace through Jesus Christ. Don't even think you can get your house in order by yourself. God sent Jesus into the world to give us the help we need. Don't think you so good in comparison to others that you don't need to come to Christ now. Don't think that you've been in church so long, a Christian so long, that you got it down pat. If you've been trying to live right your way, it's time now to try it God's way, now unto him. You may have gone from one church to the other, not satisfied anywhere. You tried this one's Bible study, that one's prayer meet, and nothing has moved you to commitment yet. You have recordings and books and blessing plans and holy water and prayer cloths. You tune in to Bishop So-and-so on TV and Apostle So-and-so online, and still your life is not in order yet. I tell you, it's high time to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I am not the standard for his righteousness, and nobody else you know can get you in or keep you out of the kingdom of God. Don't you fall because you lifted somebody up above the measure that they could live up to in their humanity. Look to Jesus. I tell you, he is the only one who can keep you from falling. The scholars say that the Greek word for the English word falling in this text carries a nuance that suggests the scripture is not talking about an ordinary kind of fall. It is not talking about a fall that comes from stubbing your toe or missing a step and falling quickly to the ground. They say this falling that Jude describes is more like falling off a bucking horse, where you fall hard to the ground. And if you fall the wrong way, you can break your neck or crack your skull or break your bones. I tell you, you ought not dismiss yourself from this brief moment of being still in the presence of God without being escorted by the only one who can keep you from falling. Jesus saw Peter falling and said, I have prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail because of what you're going through. And when you get it together again, when you are converted, Peter, go and strengthen your brothers in the faith who are going through the same journey of guilt and shame you are going through. Pre-resurrection, Peter denied the Lord. Three times he denied him. Cussed out the woman who said, surely you are one of them. But post-resurrection, Peter, who saw the empty tomb, who witnessed the resurrected Savior give evidence of his victory over the grave, that Peter, full of faith and power, preached until 3,000 souls were saved. My mama prayed for me, had me on her mind, took the time to pray for me. But let me tell you, it is true. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. He can keep you from falling. David said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. I'm so glad God sent his son Jesus, because he's the only one who can present us to God the Father. Right now, if I am without him, I'm unpresentable. But in him, I can go into the kingdom, high-stepping to the coronation. You see, you have to have a sponsor, because you can't get in on your own. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you try to get in any other way, you come as a thief and a robber. The late Reverend Dr. E.V. Hill of Los Angeles, California, said he was invited by Reverend Jesse Jackson to come to the nation of Jordan in the Middle East to negotiate the release of some folk who had been taken captive that Jesse was trying to bring home. Reverend Jackson asked Pastor Hill to come along as a prayer partner. Dr. Hill said he went in fear and trembling to this faraway place he had never been to. But because he went with Jesse, he could expect to be presented to King Hussein and get the same hospitality being shown to the guests of royalty. Dr. Hill said at the airport, a long limo pulled up to meet them, and the driver told Reverend Jackson to get in and sit with the king. But in the hustle and bustle of their departure from the airport, Dr. Hill was left standing on the curb in the thick of the entourage gathered at the site. When Jesse noticed that they were about to pull off, he pointed to Dr. Hill and said to King Hussein, he's with me. The driver got out, opened the door to the limo, and Reverend Jackson presented Pastor Hill to the king. And from then on, whatever hospitality, whatever amenities was afforded Jesse Jackson, they were also lavished upon E.V. Hill. That's how it's going to be in glory. I'm going to be standing at one of the gates to the city when all of the saints of God get together. It is said there are three gates in the north, three gates in the south, three gates in the east, and three gates in the west. I don't care which one I go in. I don't care whether I'm in the front of the line or the back. I just know I can't go in these old common rags I'm wearing. I'm going to need a robe washed in the blood of the Lamb. We can't go up there strutting our own stuff. We need the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ so we can be presented faultless, unblameable, and irreproachable, because somebody up there is sure to call us out. Who are these? And that's when Jesus is going to say, don't worry about it. He's not a thief. She's not a robber. They with me. These are they who have come up through trial and tribulation. These are they who are called by my name. They with me. Yes, I am his and he is mine. So if you miss me from singing down here, oh, come on up to bright glory. I'll be singing up there. Look to Jesus, saints. He is our praise. He is the reason why I sing. I don't sing because I can sing well. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. As surely as he watches over us, saints, let us be looking to Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Dr. Owens, for that word that you've delivered, that God has poured into you. Right now, my name is Minister Newsom from New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, and I just want to extend to somebody the opportunity to have fellowship and relationship with the Lord Christ Jesus. I want to let you know that apart from him, you can be successful in your own way. Apart from Jesus, you can have the house on the hill, the white picket fence. You can go to school and obtain your master's, your bachelor's, your PhD. Apart from Jesus Christ, you can do everything and get anything that you want. But what you cannot do, somebody, is make yourself right with God on your own. We need Jesus. We need him as our Lord, as our Savior, and to make him master of our lives and just not to know of him. Yeah, apart from God, you can get all the money you want. You can have all the skills and the talents you want. But you cannot make yourself right with God. The book of Romans says, chapter 5, verse 9, and since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. If you're listening out there, apart from God, you are his enemy. Apart from his son, you are his enemy. But God does not wish that anyone should perish, but that all come to repentance, because he indeed loves you. And he loves us so much that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Will you be a friend of God today by accepting his son and the blood that was shed for you, knowing that he took your place on the cross of Calvary and died for your sins, no matter what it is? Will you be a friend of God today? Will you be made right? Will you be justified in his sight so you can say, and that heaven can say, he or she is with the King? We are the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, located on 1575 West 17th Street, San Bernardino, California. We have our website, newhopenbc.org. We can be reached there, or if you're in the local vicinity, you can come to our building. But if you're not in California, if you're not in the San Bernardino area, get with your local church and find the body of believers and seek ye first the kingdom and tell them that you desire to be friends with God and no longer his enemy, because the blood has been shed, the war has been fought, and the devil has been defeated for your sake. God loves you, and we love you too, and to him be all the glory.
I don't want to sing the latest song. I don't want to percolate the crowd. I just want to make you smile. I don't care who thinks I'm right or wrong. I don't care who tries to calm me down. I just want to praise you now. You cover me in the midst of it all. You love me. You gave me another chance. You saw my needs when others saw my faults. You forgave me. I don't
medicine for my leg. They don't have to walk me down the aisle. I just wanna make you proud. Should I make the Hall of Fame? Or they save a special seat? I just hope that you'll be pleased. You covered me in the midst of it all. You loved me, gave me another chance. You rescued me. I was going to fall, going to fall. You saved me. So in my life,
Be glorified.
Yeah. You get the glory, you get the praise, you take the honor. I just wanna say, you get the glory,
you get the glory,
you get the praise, take all of the honor. I just wanna say,
you get the glory.
I want you to get the praise.
You take the honor.
I just wanna say,
you get the glory.
Father, you get the praise.
You take the honor.
I just wanna say, I've come back to say.
You covered me. Lord, you get the glory, you get the praise. Amen, amen, and amen. Hey, I want to thank everyone for listening and to Hope is Alive. Oh my, my, my. The devotional and reflections by Deacon Dwayne Hogan and the invitation to discipleship, Reverend Minister DeCorey Newsom. And what an inspirational message, folks. Live, Dr. Michael Andrew Owens. Dr. Owens, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm so much better for having been in church today and fellowship with the saints of God, especially our youth and young adults who just led us into high praise today. We had a hallelujah good time. even though we had a little adversity and technical difficulty getting going, getting heard, but they fixed that. And boy, I tell you, we have some high praise today.
Yes, yes, sir. Well, guess what? You just did it again here, right live across the nation, around the globe on Hope is Alive. And I just want to say, what an inspirational message. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I said, this brother is talking about me here. Oh, yeah. Oh, boy, I'm guilty. Yes, sir. But I'm extremely excited, brother. And I want to wish you and our listening audience and our New Hope family members happy Black History Month. Dr. Owens, I'm excited. I get excited each and every year about this month. I get excited. Well, it doesn't take much to get me excited. I get excited throughout the year when I think about us. And you know, but this gives us an excuse. February, that's right. We can talk about us all we want, all on TV and the commercials and everything. And I have some things, some questions I want to ask you. Now, you've often said that we should all be history makers. You know, whether we become famous for our work or not, but committed to making a difference wherever we are and have an opportunity to do something good that lasts. Now, that's the key phrase, something good that lasts. Now, as a history maker yourself, what do you hope to be remembered for?
Well, I've had the opportunity to be in ministry since I was a teenager. And so I hope people remember that I got into this in sincerity and in truth, following the Spirit of God's lead. I didn't follow the nudging of people who thought that, you know, I had to preach, or was going to be a preacher because, you know, I was at church all the time as a kid, or because I was in everything and could talk, but who taught me to recognize the move of the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost said so, then I was sure and confident that this is what God wanted me to do. And thereafter, I just wanted to be true to that calling. I wanted to preach with passion. I never thought I wanted to be a pastor. I kind of wanted to be a lawyer who...
How did that work out for you?
Another call to pastor, and I welcomed it. And in each city where I have pastored, you know, I've left the kind of mark that one brought people together who might otherwise be apart, you know, and hopefully left churches in better shape than they were when I found them. In one city, in a couple of cities, I've organized citywide revivals that brought churches of various denominations together to praise the Lord, and those traditions remain in some of those cities. And I've had the opportunity to lead pastors during the time when there was adversity and trouble in the city, and the city was looking to its religious leaders for help, as in Detroit, when the city went bankrupt. It was put in receivership. The government tried to take over and make the city council anemic, you know, strip them of their power. And they looked to the preachers for leadership, and there I was, the pastor, the president and the pastor of Detroit Baptist Council. And I've come here, and, you know, I'm looking for, you know, a good time, really. And COVID slapped in the face and said, oh,
no.
But the time is this.
You got work to do, brother.
Oh, man. The pastor who led the church through COVID, you know, and that's history making for most of us who sit in the chair tonight. So God bless, and hopefully I've done something that will remain longer than you do, and that is the hope and prayer.
Well, amen. You know, I tell you, I think, I'm not sure whether you had just come on board or just before you came on board, and we had the opportunity of doing something. I was on a committee, and we had a career day there at New Hope, and we had 26 Black professionals there. I mean, we had engineers, we had doctors, we had administrators, we had business leaders, we had, and there were a host of different individuals that looked like us, right? And that was so amazing. And we held it in the fellowship hall and it was packed. And I was proud of that, you know. And so those are the types of things that hopefully can make a difference, you know, with our youth. And the reason why I'm bringing it up, because in the question that I had in front of me, and we said doing something that lasts, making a difference, and you don't have to be famous, you know, to make a difference, you know, and
that's
how
right.
you can inspire people. But there's that enemy there. There's that enemy that wants to keep something from us, you know, and want to withhold information and education and stuff, leading, most of us, if not all of us, have experienced some racism at some point of our lives, right? Do you think that it's gotten worse or it's just more overt now?
Well, I think evil evolves, as well as our response to it. Because it's like if you put, you can put poison in a drink and, cover it up with something sweet so you don't taste it. You can dilute it all you want, but the poison is thick. This is thick.
Okay.
We got to get better at detecting it. We got to get better at neutralizing it. We got to get antidote and certainly the antidote to evil and righteousness. And so we got to keep preaching Jesus and focusing on the love of God, get rid of that poison in our system, because it's always mixed, it seems.
That's right. You know, it's something to be said about, and be careful, and I want you to touch on this too. People that are trying to keep something from you or away from you, and especially if you are entitled to have that information or that knowledge, that job, or whatever it is, there's something to be said about that. And let me tell you where I'm going with this. Growing up, you know, we know about... in our history, how education was denied for several years. And even then, it was diluted, like you mentioned, you know. And also, the worst books. We get the hand-me-down books, the hand-me-down band uniforms. I mean, these types of things there. What do you say about people who try to deny you of something? What are they afraid of?
Oh, well, you know, the phrase comes to mind right away that knowledge is power.
Mm.
And people who know it, and they're afraid of you knowing what they know, because they know if you know what they know, they get power from them.
That's right.
You know, you know, and what with the Constitution, you can use the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're enough to know what belongs to you by right, then you can always assert your rights. You have to speak truth to power and demand your rights.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the position we've been in through our whole journey in this country. And they don't want us educated so that they can keep laying on us the mm-hmm. stereotypes of us being ignorant. They don't want us to know the Lord for real, because the God who is the true God will not be a God who's on their side.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want educate ourselves. They don't want us to get but so saved and holy and sanctified, because that creates a passion and a fire that they can't put out. And so it's their strategy to keep us ignorant and to keep us irreligious and become more like them.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of not honoring the Lord, not respecting ourselves, just being power hungry and being out for number one. But that's not who we are in God. That's not how we got delivered as a people. We got delivered as a people helping one another, banding together and filling our church houses to hear the word of the Lord and being educated there if necessary. So they trying to take us out of the books there in Florida. We got books, we got authors, we got writers. We tell our own stories and open our own schools and teach our own children. So we ought not be put off by the works of the enemy, because those works will not prosper, and the word declares itself.
Amen. Amen. You know, we have been talking about it, and again, talking about Black history, and I think that should be, and we need to talk among ourselves. Look, pay attention to what's going on. Black history, not only in February or in June when Juneteenth comes around and things like that, but throughout the year, you can tell, educate your children, make sure they get educated. And that's why, Dr. Owens, we've talked about this as well. And especially they are overt with this now. The governor in Florida, he wants to ban, well, also here in Virginia, they want to ban anything that has to do with CRT, and it's not even taught in the schools. But what it is, that's a warning sign. We don't want to talk it anywhere. As a matter of fact, I think in Florida, he also banned some AP Black, college, curriculum. If I'm correct on that. So, no, we can't have that to happen. Oh man. Well, who are some of the trailblazers that have inspired you in, if you could think of any, as far as historians, preachers, scientists, or inventors, or can anyone comes to mind, Dr. Owen?
Well, you know, the people who come to my mind are the people who are closest to me, the people that I could reach, the people who I could actually talk to, the people who I knew their names and they knew mine. Because all these celebrity types, you know, they aren't people you can call when you need help or direction or a word of encouragement. They aren't the people who sow into you. Those people are beyond you. But I'm thankful for the heroic leadership of Edwin and Delois Collins, who were the director and associate director of the Swarthmore College Upward Bound, who led a program to help young people who were economically depressed get to the same colleges that folk of privilege could get to. Those are my heroes. My pastor, who took me under his wing and exposed me to some of the great voices and ministries of persons in the work of Christ, and you know, took me to Hampton, took me to the convention, so I could know Dr. Gardner Taylor in person, who I could meet Charles Edward Booth in person, who I could meet Jeremiah Wright and get a personal letter of encouragement from him when I was in a crisis. These are the people who are heroic to me. My Sunday school teacher, who told me that I could be anybody when I had a crisis of low self-esteem. You know, the second grade teacher who, you know, told me I could win the spelling bee, and the sixth grade teacher who, you know, recognized something so strong in me, she made me judge in a class because I memorized the Declaration of Independence and nobody else knew that there were two versions of it. So, you know, those are my heroes. And, those are the people who, are on the tapes in my mind when I look for encouragement, when I go to the well and try to come up with inspiration to keep on keeping on. And I would encourage everyone not to take the heroes who are within reach for granted, because those are the persons God gives to us as gifts to actually put messages in our ear and to hold our hand and give us a strong embrace that lets us know we're not alone, and that we have true friends and family to count on to make it in this world.
Amen. Oh, wow, Dr. Owens. Oh, boy, we're almost out of time, but I want to make sure that you tell the audience, or if there's anything that you would like to share with the audience that I may have forgotten to ask you.
Well, you know, we have one more Sunday in Black History Month, as it were, and we're going to have a very soulful, if you will, celebration coming this next Sunday, as our various men contribute to that worship experience. an intergenerational worship experience. And then afterwards, our missions department will have displays reflecting our history in the fellowship hall, and various dining cuisines for us to sample. It's always a good time to be held by all, and good for the family. So as this month goes out and we take our marching orders to go forward being history makers ourselves, we have this Sunday as a launch into that time of making our own contributions by celebrating the contributions of those who've gone before. So we welcome anyone to share with us in person at church, and we'll be back on, and hope is alive as well. God bless you all.
Amen, amen. I remember those, the black eyed peas and the yeah. cornbread and the and all of the displays and everything. Just a good time. Thank you so much, Dr. Owens, and we will see you next Sunday, same time on The Buzz. This is Hope is Alive, folks, and you can catch us each and every Sunday at noon. At noon, I believe that's on the East Coast, on the West Coast, and 3 p.m. here on the West and 2 Central Time. And before that, make sure you tune into the Gospel Explosion and Studio W The Buzz. You can reach us on iTunes, Spotify. You can reach us Studio W Buzz .com on the website, studio.w. Just download that from your Apple app, Studio W from Android, Apple CarPlay, Google Play, anywhere, anytime, any place around the globe. Thank you so much, Dr. Owens, and I will see you next week, my friend. Thank you.
That's fast.
Amen.